It's good to see you, good to be with you and a part of our worship together this morning. It's good to see the college young adults back in their places. We miss them. Most of them have moved away but are back. And good to see everyone here this morning. We appreciate it very much. Yes, I certainly don't want to say children. That would imply something a little smaller than you are. So, but you are, we all are, children of God. Puts us in a family together. And we're so thankful to God for the blessings that we share in Christ and the common love, common faith, common salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. An opportunity to get together to raise our voices in praise and to petition our Father upon His throne of mercy and grace to be able to give as He's prospered us, to be able to remember His death, remember to be able to study His Word and examine ourselves. Our goal this morning is to provide a word of exhortation, really. It's an exhortation that is built upon a fundamental idea, and that is, I died last night. The story is told of a businessman who each year would go to his financial advisor and he would say to him, I died last night. Tell me, what happened to my family? What happened to my business? What happened to my estate? And from that, you can see why we chose Luke, the 12th chapter, to read as our scripture, because here was a man who was asking Jesus to see to it that his brother divided the inheritance. There was a family squabble over money. Things haven't changed. Jesus said, who made me the arbiter over you? What I want to tell you is, be careful and beware of covetousness. And understand that life does not consist in the abundance of the things you possess. Life is more about the things you own, the things you have. And he told the parable of the man, as Tyler read for us. And as that man, and his soul was required of him, and he had built many wealthy things. But notice, he was driven by covetousness. That was the point. Not that he had wealth, but that he was driven by covetousness. And putting all of his eggs in that basket, he was not prepared to die. God said, fool, tonight your soul is required of you, and the things that you have, you have provided, whose will they be? So he who is laid up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. We must be rich toward God. So the businessman who will go to his advisor and say, tell me now, I died last night. How's my family going to make out? What about my estate? What about my business? That's not a bad technique. That's not a bad approach as you're trying to plan for the future, but what we want to talk about is something more than that. We want to talk about the reality that if that had happened to that businessman, he probably wouldn't be concerned the day after he died about all those things. That wouldn't be the first thing on his mind. And I know that because from reading Luke the 16th chapter. Because there I read about a man who fared sumptuously in his life. He did not lack for anything. A very wealthy man who died and next thing we read about, he's in torment, and he just wants a drop of water on his tongue. But he said, I'm in anguish and despair. Just let Lazarus put a drop of water on my tongue. In contrast to that man, we read about Stephen in Acts 6th chapter. A man, and actually it moves into chapter 7, Acts the 7th chapter. And as he preached the gospel on that occasion, you know they stoned him to death. And as he was approaching death, he looked back onto this life and said, forgive them. Don't lay this sin upon their charge. And he looked forward and he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen was ready to die. And so undoubtedly was taken to glory. But what about me and you? Suppose you died last night. Let us each think this morning for these 30 minutes now in front of us. Let's just ponder. I died last night. What would be your concern? What would be most important to you? Would it be your money? Would it be your business? Your home? Would it be recognition and honor? Would it be recreation and playtime? What would be most important? I suspect most of us would say it would be spiritual matters. Now, what we want to remember is, if I died last night, then all my opportunities have ended. We know this, but it's very easy to push that out in the future and not think about it. I want to think about it this morning. I want you to think about it this morning. I died last night. Now, what answers would we give to these questions? And you can think of your own and go to God's Word for an answer. But here's a fundamental and important one is, did you obey the gospel? What is the answer? You died last night. Did you obey the gospel? Well, what do you mean, preacher? Obey the gospel. You know, most people think they're going to go to heaven. What are you talking about obeying the gospel? Well, let's see what the Bible says about this. In Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, the Apostle of Christ said, "How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Note, please, with me that in verse 16, when they did not obey the gospel, Isaiah is applied, they have not believed our report. When we believe the report of the gospel, when we believe the gospel preaching, we obey it. When we do not obey, that means we do not believe. That means there is a lack of faith. There is some level of unbelief that is occurring when I do not obey. Obedience is the submissive response to God's Word. Because we hear it, we believe it, and then we comply ourselves to it. We yield to it. We submit to it. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth or does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So, gospel obedience is doing the will of the Father. Obeying the gospel, according to Romans 10, is hearing it and believing it and then complying to it. Remember, if they didn't obey because they didn't believe. If we don't believe, we don't obey. When we're not obeying, it causes evidence of unbelief. So, what do you mean, gospel obedience? We mean what Jesus meant in John 8:29. When John wrote about Jesus, Jesus on that occasion said, "I always do the things that please Him, that is, that please my Father. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." Now, I died last night. I need to answer the question, did I please the Father by obeying the good news of salvation in His Son? Was I obedient? You know, many people say you don't have to obey to be saved. But the Bible says Jesus, even Jesus, the Son, learned obedience by the things which He suffered. He applied Himself to submissively respond to the will of the Father. That was His habit, to please the Father. He, by His suffering, He demonstrated the habit of obedience, life of obedience. And having been made perfect, or having been perfected, been the adequate sacrifice for sinners, He became the author, the source, the means of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. So we must submissively respond to Him. We must yield our heart and life to comply with what He commands us. You see, the gospel contains commands as well as promises. Commands to be obeyed. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. Faith is a commandment Jesus commands of us. We've got to believe that He is from above. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. The gospel contains commands. So, if I died last night, did I believe? Did I repent, change my heart about the sin in my life against God? Did I confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord? Believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead? If I did, I'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, did I believe and confess? Or did I say, I don't need to do that? I died last night. Did I believe and confess? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So did I obey the commandment to be baptized to be saved? I believed it, but did I obey it? I died last night. What would my answer be? Romans 12:1-2. The apostle said, I beseech you, or I beg you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God commands us to be living sacrifices. Did I obey that commandment? I believed and obeyed and repented and was baptized. I confessed Jesus as Lord. But then, did I sacrifice myself to Jesus? Did I live a life of obedience to Him? What is our answer? I died last night. You see, the Bible, the Gospel says, if I don't obey it, I will receive punishment for my sin. The Bible is very clear about this. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says that when Christ comes to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Pardon me. The Christians are assured rest when Jesus returns. But no, His mighty angels with Him are coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So I died last night. Did I obey the gospel? If I didn't, this verse says, I will be punished for my sin. I will be punished with an everlasting destruction, an eternal loss of well-being, separated from the presence of God, separated from His glory, and there are many other verses that describe hell. Or will I have reward because I obeyed Him? Will I share in His glory? Verse 10, as He says, when He comes in that day, to be glorified in His saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So those who believe the apostolic testimony, what will they do? According to Romans 10, we read a minute ago, they'll obey it. And because they believed it and obeyed it, when Jesus comes in His glory, they will share in His glory. Now, what about you? You died last night. Are you sharing in His glory right now? Because you obeyed His gospel when you live here? Romans 14:12-13 talks about the reward. It says that there's rest from their labor. In this life we labor. In this life we're to be serving our Lord, doing His will, being obedient to His word. He says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. So, are you resting from your labor? Because you died last night. Are you in rest now? So
what I want us to think about. Are you, as Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all who are brothers of hearing. Brother, what's our answer? But if you're not yet a Christian, are you saying, well, when I get older? But if you understand the gospel and know there's sin in your life, you're old enough. Put your faith in Jesus. And I intend to be baptized someday. Then I intend to obey the gospel. But that's not a satisfactory answer because, you see, opportunity has ended. There is no more opportunity. Someone says, I didn't need to be baptized. What's your answer now? And Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He died last night. Are you confident that you can meet Jesus without having obeyed his commandment and you'll still go to heaven? When the Bible says he that is disobedient to the gospel will suffer punishment, and if that's only one. You see, where are you standing now? If you're here this morning, you've not been baptized into Christ because you've not yet confessed he's the Son of God, and you've not yet repented of your sins, and you've not yet put your trust in him as the Son of God, then we urge you to obey his commandments in all of respects and be saved from your past sin now and by him added to his church, so that if you do die tonight, you'll be lifted up into glory. Brethren, we will die. We will die.
Were you faithful to the Lord? Let's explore this just a little more for just a moment. In Philippians 2, I read about a man who I think we would all agree was a faithful man. And he sets a worthy example for us. And I think it illustrates in a very brief statement some of the things, a good deal of the things that are involved in being faithful. So we can say, well, he's faithful. Well, what does that mean? Oh, well, he's at all the services. You see, being faithful to the Lord is a lot more than showing up at a worship service. Talking about Timothy, in this passage, Paul writes, I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. Now, Paul is in prison in Rome, and he wants to send Timothy to Philippi because he trusts that Timothy will return and tell him about how they're doing. See, I want to be encouraged by knowing about you, and I want to send Timothy so I can find out. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your sakes. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Here is someone that was trustworthy. He was dependable. Paul counted on Timothy because Timothy was faithful to Jesus. And he knew that he could not think of anyone more suited to this task because of his sincere mind, his loyalty to Christ, he was like-minded with the apostle, and that from him he could get an accurate report. He had a proven character and a faithful service. And so I'm asking myself, I died last night, was I faithful to Jesus that way? Was I faithful to the Lord? Was I faithful to learn my Master's will and grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord? 2 Peter 3:18. Was I trustworthy? Could he depend upon me to do that? Out of a genuine faith, a sincere care, a proven character. I died last night. Did I use my abilities to honor God? Remember in Matthew 25, the Master gave one of his servants one talent. And it says the man was afraid, and he buried the talent. And then he tried to, in essence, say, well, Master, you're the reason I did it, because you're an austere master. You reap where you've not sown, and I didn't want to lose it, so I buried it, and now I'm giving it back to you. It's yours. Master was angry. It wasn't the master's fault. He had blessed his servant. And the servant had not used the blessing to honor his master and benefit the master. God blessed every one of us with capabilities, with opportunities and abilities. What are we doing with our talent? What are we doing with those blessings that He's put into our hands? I died last night. Can I stand before Him and say, I've used what You gave me to honor You? What will Your answer be? What will we say, brethren? What is our answer? I died last night. Was I somebody who prayed to God? In nothing was I anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, did I make my request made known to God? As Paul says we should do there. Jesus said that we ought always to pray and not to faint. He taught a parable about that in Luke 18:1. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Did I pray always? Did I believe that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? Did I pray for my brethren? Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I died last night. How would I answer that today? Am I praying? Did I teach? Am I defending His Word? Am I giving an answer to those who ask me, a reason for the hope that's in me, yet with meekness and fear? What would our answer be? Did I abstain from sin, from evil, abstain from every appearance, from all form of evil? 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Whatever form and shape it takes, I abstain from it. I renounced it. Is that our answer? Can we say that? Is that what we're doing now? If I died last night, could I say I abstain from every form of evil? Or is there evil in the cracks and crevices and folds of my heart that I tuck away and then bring out? Was I faithful to be sacrificial? Was I faithful to be a giving person, trusting in the Lord? As the widow with the two mites who gave all that she had. See, she gave herself to the Lord. She depended upon the Lord. That was Jesus' point. She gave more than everybody. She was throwing a lot of money into the treasury. She put the two mites. It was her whole living. It was her whole substance. Do we give just enough, but you know, never really enough to be a sacrifice? And I'm not just talking about money. Time, attention, effort, energy, presence, participation. Are we cheerful givers? If we sow a little, we'll reap a little. If we sow abundantly, we'll reap abundantly. That's a principle every farmer knows. What will our answer be now? We know it now because we died last night. So we know it now. What will our answer be? See, a good beginning is not enough. It's not enough to say, I obeyed the gospel in the past. Colossians 2 that we're studying in our class said, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it in thanksgiving. See, it's not enough just to start well, but we've got to press on. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And many other such warnings and teachings about us growing to maturity. We all realize, we do, we all realize that it's being a Christian is more than just starting one, but it's fighting the good fight, finishing the course, keeping the faith. So you died last night. How things work out? Will the answer be, I meant to be more faithful to the Lord? More faithful in worship, more faithful in giving, more faithful in living, more faithful in word, more faithful in service. I meant to be more faithful. If I had just lived a little bit longer, I would have
done that. I would have studied more. I would have read the Bible more. I would have been a more diligent worker for the Lord if I had just lived a little longer. Will that be our answer? Or will we say, but Lord Jesus,
I was a lot better than most people I knew. And there's a lot of people around me that aren't doing what I'm doing.
You know, the Bible says we are not so bold to compare ourselves with others. It says we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It is not wise to compare ourselves to somebody else and say, I'm doing more than they are. They're not doing as much as I am. Will that satisfy if you died last night to say, I live better than most others, and there's a lot more that's doing a lot less than I did? And you know what all that will amount to? It'll just amount to, you know, and just as clear as I know how to say to myself, if I were to give that answer, that's just going to mean, Joe, you're going to be in hell with people that you did more than some and they did more than you in some areas. What's that help me? What's that help me to compare myself to the sins of others? To the inadequacies and inability and the lack of faithfulness in others? It doesn't help me a bit.
But we try to justify ourselves that way in life. We look around and we justify ourselves in life. But now I'm talking about in death. Well, I died last night. How's that answer working for you now? The Bible says, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him despised the cross
and is set down at the right hand of God. I paraphrase that. Despising the shame. You know, he says that he despised the shame, endured the cross, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Despise the shame of sin. Endure the cross. Jesus said, if anyone would come after you, let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. So we've got to deny ourselves, take up the cross. So did I do that? I died last night. Was I faithful to the Lord? Did I win a soul for Jesus?
The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and those who are wise, either as wise, win souls. Now, we can't make somebody obey the gospel, but we can be God's servants to do what we are able to do to try to help somebody be saved in Christ. And so I put the question to myself this way. Was I a luminary of righteousness in a dark world? Was I the light of the world? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. The city that's set on the hill cannot be hid. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel,
but on a stand it may give light. Even so, you let your light shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven.
So, to win a soul for Christ, I have to be a light in the world that is dark in sin, dead in sin. So, was I a light in the world, a light of righteousness, a light of truth? By my example of living and my influence, was I able to give an influence to others that would help save them? 1 Peter 4 and 12, Paul told Timothy, by the way, let no one despise your youth. That's always intrigued me, because when you study the life and timeline of Paul and Timothy, and when he first picks Timothy up, and by the time that he wrote this epistle, it's not unreasonable at all to think that Timothy probably was over 30 years of age at this time. And he said, don't let anybody despise your youth. That gives me hope, being 50, above 50, you know. But my point is, he's not talking to a teenager here when he says, don't let someone despise your youth, although the principle applies. But you look at the life and time, and when he wrote this, Timothy had already long ago left being a teenager. You see. So, whether you're a young adult or you're approaching middle age, you see, and even beyond, the principles apply, but especially in those times. You see, youth can become a hindrance if we are not wise in it. Let me rephrase that. Not a hindrance, it becomes someone's excuse to not listen to you, to not be influenced by you. After all, Timothy was preaching the gospel. Pardon me, Paul talked to Timothy about being an evangelist. And he needed to know that if his life was not in harmony with what he said, then his youth would be despised. He wouldn't be listened to. The message would not get through. So you've set an example, Timothy. You set an example. Set it to the believers. Yes, in a dark world of sin, you're to be an example, but you set an example to your fellow Christians. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I died last night. Did I do that? Could my Christian brethren look at me and say, here's an example. Here's an influence. Oh, was I despised because I didn't think about my example among my brethren. And we're walking according to the pattern set by the apostles, Philippians 3:17. Do I try to win a soul for Christ by trying to persuade them with the gospel? Paul said, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And influence is important in helping win a soul for Christ, but you see, the lost have to hear the word of God to actually be saved. They've got to hear the word, but they've got to believe it and obey it. They can believe you have an influence, but they don't believe and obey your influence. They believe and obey the gospel, and they have to learn it. So we have to persuade them by it and with it. It has to be planted in people's hearts. He died last night. So, someone will say, you never mentioned him to me? One of the most sobering and plaintive songs that we sing, you never mentioned him to me. I died last night. And someone say, I didn't even know you were a Christian. Well, we say, well, I intended to. I wanted to teach somebody. I wanted to. Let's see, our opportunities are here before us. We have a gospel meeting approaching. We have friends. We have family. We have strangers. We can invite. We can encourage. We can be here ourselves by setting an example and an influence. And we can help teach and persuade. I died last night. Did I try to win a soul for Jesus Christ? Did I try to make life easier for someone else?
James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Did I try to make life easier for someone else, or did I live for myself? Did I define life in terms of me, myself, and I, or you, they, and them? How did we do? What's your answer? Did I love my neighbors, myself?
No. Matthew 25, Jesus said, when the Son of Man is revealed in His glory and He separates the nations before Him as sheep from the goats, He separates people, sheep from the goats, and the sheep on His right hand, He says, come in, blessed of my Father, for I was hungry and you gave me to drink, not to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, sick, and you visited me, in prison, you visited me. And they'll say, Lord, when did we see you in those conditions? And He said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So, our treatment of our brethren, our treatment of one another, and indeed of our neighbor, those who are not Christians, how we treat them is going to affect our judgment. That I love my neighbor as myself. Did I treat them the way I wanted to be treated? Jesus said, whatsoever you would that men do to you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule. Do unto others as we would have them do unto you, as you would have them do unto you. So did I treat other people the way I want to be treated? Not
judgmentally treat them the way they treat me. Jesus, I love my enemies. Pray for those who mistreat me. How do we do? How do you do? We died last night. Or did I be the gossip? Was I the backbiter and the talebearer who talked about things, who didn't care for them, who mistreated them? I died last night. Am I comfortable treating people that way? I shouldn't be, and I should repent if I do. I died last night. So, what's my answer going to be? What's your answer going to be? Did you make life easier? Did you say James 1:27 is to visit, that is, tend to help meet the needs of those unfortunate, the orphans and widows, to be loving our neighbors as ourselves. See. Finally, what influence did you leave behind? What legacy did you leave? Was your influence felt in your life as a person who put God first in everything? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You died last night, so did you leave an influence that others, now remembering you, say, you know, he put God first in his life. She put God first in her life. Will they remember your name to be held in honor or disrepute? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be of more value, more to be desired than great riches. Good name to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. A good name. Did you leave a good name? Because you died last night. You're not going to be able to affect your name anymore. You died last night, so whatever your name was at that moment, that's what it's going to be from then on. Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Now that's pretty graphic. Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. What name did you leave behind? What legacy of faithfulness did you leave behind? Abel, though he has been dead many thousands of years, still speaks. He being dead still speaks. See, he was faithful. By faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice, and God counted him righteous. You died last night, so what influence did you leave behind? Are you satisfied with what you saw? Are you satisfied with the answers that you gave? See, you didn't die last night, but you are going to die someday. None of us died last night. I know a man who did. So what's our answer going to be when we do die? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. If you're not satisfied with the answers, then you're not ready to live for God today yet. Or maybe now you are ready to repent and live for God from this day forward. Do you see? If the answers were unsatisfactory, you're not yet living for Jesus the way you ought. And we want to urge you to do that. We want to encourage you from the Word of God. We want to exhort you that God wants you to be ready when it's your time to die. When death comes to us all, He wants to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, in the day of judgment. We want to be taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom and there rest eternally, waiting judgment and then an eternal rest. You see, an eternal rest with our Lord in the glories of heaven. So, we didn't die last night, but let's determine we're going to live today. And we're going to live every day, faithful to our Master.
you're not a Christian, we urge you to obey the gospel today, right now. Be saved in the Lord and added by Him to His church. He's God's people. If there's sin in our lives, let us repent. Let us seek and find His mercy. And let us rise up to live and walk with Him each day. While together we stand, we sing.